Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Washington, D.C., and kick it around with our pals here in America tonight in Foggy Bottom. I was going to say swampy because it's swampy where I am, but in Foggy Bottom. Justin Tuckum is there from Talk Radio News. Justin, big day Hillary Clinton-wise because, hey, she finally talked to the media again, and she was drilled about the whole email thing and is saying she's waiting on the State Department and telling them just release them all, right?
Exactly, and just to put this in context, she had gone about 28 days without answering a question from the press, and according to people who have been compiling the numbers on that, prior to that, she had only delivered anywhere from about 5 to 13 questions throughout the time that she has announced her candidacy. That is a staggeringly low number compared to a lot of other candidates, compared to how she performed in 2007, and frankly had a lot of people in the media worried. Today, before her event, she was challenged by Ed Henry from Fox News to take questions, and she ultimately agreed to, and a sort of press opening that was not necessarily originally scheduled and was frankly kind of informal. But as you mentioned, during that, she made some big news by saying that she wanted the State Department emails that she sent during her tenure within the administration to be released as soon as possible. She said that it's not necessarily her decision to make. Those are within the State Department's ownership, but nevertheless that she is calling on them and hoping that they will release it as quickly as they are able to. She said that she believes that this will reflect well on her tenure as Secretary of State, and essentially wants all of the lingering questions to be put out there.
How much does that hurt her when she doesn't talk to the media and they're keeping score about the days in between? I mean, because let's face it, people want to be able to talk to her. They want access, as they do with any of the candidates. Does that kind of hurt you with the media, especially the Washington media?
You know, it's a gamble, and it certainly has caused a lot of people to be pretty angry. The Washington Post has been very vocal about this. They've been having a running calendar. And the New York Times actually had sort of a clever little column that they were doing wherein they would feature questions that they would ask Hillary Clinton if given the chance. I think at this point, though, she knows that she doesn't necessarily have a serious challenger yet, and so therefore she doesn't necessarily need to, win the hearts and minds of the public in the traditional ways of the media, and can sort of circumvent that since, frankly, she's polling pretty well. She knows that she, has this ability to really go up against any Democrat and probably win, considering now she's polling about 50 points ahead of anybody in a lot of the key battleground states. And this kind of reflects her ability to, not make statements that are, controversial, to sort of wait until she can see the full mood of the public before weighing in on things. So I would say essentially it's a gamble. She avoids, opportunity to make a gaffe or to come off, at odds with the American people, but she also, runs the risk of irritating the media, who, of course, have some pretty considerable sway in this.
Yeah, and you said this, she doesn't have anybody really jumping in on the Democratic side that's challenging her. Do you think that's going to change?
I think it's going to change in the sense that we're going to have additional people getting into the field. We know, of course, that Bernie Sanders has been pretty effective at fundraising and really appealing to, a lot of younger crowds. There was some analysis that was done today by the New York Times that showed that he is sort of a social media powerhouse. But in terms of, sort of a mainstream candidate who can really rally Democrats around them as an alternative to Hillary Clinton, as an electoral alternative, perhaps more importantly, I don't see that propping up anytime soon unless if we get, some really surprising dark horse entries into the race. But right now I can't for the life of me think of who that, potential candidate could be.
I know. I've gone through the list, too, and I couldn't. The list to me was a lame list, actually. I couldn't come up with anyone that had super, super sex appeal that would be able to knock her off the map or at least push her back a little bit points-wise in these polls. But on the other hand, on the Republican side, you and I have been talking about this a ton. I mean, we could end up with 18 or 20 candidates. Can you imagine in a debate what that would be like? What would they do? Just cherry-pick the ones who had the best numbers? Or how would you put 18 across on a stage would be crazy, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, just I'm going to be a little crass here, but the RNC is frankly in a really difficult position with this. They, of course, as the party, have the opportunity to set the threshold for where you recognize people in the debate stage for who you can include, but they're also running a risk of stealing off some candidates who are particularly popular in media circles and whatnot, and could frankly make them look a little bit tone deaf. Considering how the numbers are going right now, it doesn't necessarily look like Carly Fiorina or Ben Carson could make it to the stage. There are, of course, some other, some other candidates out there who may not make it, but that would be sort of, bad for the party since they've been, trying to project themselves as being more open and being, willing to have this robust debate. And, I think what's really going to be interesting is to see, what kind of fireworks fly here. We at this point have such a crowded field that we have candidates who are essentially running right now for the sake of running against one other candidate. You know, that would be in an instance of Senator Rand Paul. He's running, of course, as sort of a more libertarian-leaning Republican. He is somebody who is at odds with a lot of the foreign policy base of the party. And in response to him, we essentially have Lindsey Graham edging his way in there, from what it seems is fully as a way to kind of take down Paul's message publicly. It's kind of a spite run, as it looks. So it's going to be a lot of fireworks. It's going to be a lot of interesting crowded field, and one that I'm sure is going to create a lot of fireworks.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. How about this one from the floor to the people who are already in power? There's a freeze on salaries for the members of Congress, but it's been there since 2010. Is there any sniping about that? That, it's been 5 years and we really, they're freezing it. They voted to do that. And is it because the poll numbers are so low that they don't dare jump up and say, well, listen, it's been 5 years. We need to make more money. We need this pay to increase. What's the conversation like about that?
Well, there are a number of, members of the House who are saying that, this should be something that should be raised. Practically speaking, they're saying that, this isn't enough money for a lot of people to live. It doesn't really attract a lot of the good talent when you have, benefits that are, they're not benefits, but when you have a salary that's considerably lower than what a lot of people could be making in the private sector and whatnot. But at the end of the day, the optics in this are terrible. You have the obvious, hindrance that comes up that, you're essentially having lawmakers asking for a raise when a lot of Americans would simply say that you're frankly not really doing your job. There's been a lot of inaction within Congress. There's been a lot of, just sort of a freeze when it comes to legislative business. Frankly, this is something that comes up every now and then. We had an issue last year where this came up from Congressman Jim Moran, who was a retiring congressman from Virginia, who within his tenure went from being one of the most richest members of Congress to being the poorest following a pretty bitter divorce. And he was essentially calling for a raise on his way out the door. That was laughed at and, wasn't really fully explored until this time again. And, I got to say, frankly, it doesn't really look like there's, many people who are going to be going to bat for this one, considering how bad the optics are.
Yeah, exactly. Because nobody else is going to jump on the train with you, you'd have to have a lot of people that would be there and be willing to support it. But if you stood on your own, forget it. It would be almost laughable for all the reasons that you just said. Justin Duckham, thanks as always for popping on America Tonight. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Bye-bye. We don't need no fortune. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. places, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
With us here on America Tonight. Coming up, It's Your Business. Going to introduce you, rather, to a cool construction guy who had a funny thing happen to him as we were getting ready to interview him. Something I think some of us, or some of you, can absolutely relate to. Wait till you hear his story. Steve Sardone is hanging in the wings, waiting to join us here on America Tonight. And really, it was an interesting day. And you heard the conversation there with Justin Duckham about Hillary Clinton and the fact that finally there was actually calendars, days marked off of calendars as to when Hillary Clinton would talk to the media again. And finally she did. But listen, she knows how to handle the media. Whether sometimes she looks as though, you know, it's like the last time with the email, she was looking into the distance and whatnot. She has handlers and knows how to address whatever's thrown at her, because she's dealt with the national media screaming questions at her for a very long time when she was Secretary of State and, of course, as First Lady, getting off and on the Marine helicopter, the things that they went through in that White House. She's not a stranger to the political life. I mean, this is part of the reason why it's almost like Teflon Hillary. She knows a way to deflect some of what's going on. You can make the argument, has she deflected for too long and now people are catching on? But it seems like no matter what the right throws at her, whether it's how much money she made speaking or the Clinton Foundation, was there some problems with money that was raised for the Clinton Foundation, or whatever the latest turn is, Benghazi emails, it still is deflected. And in all the polls, what the polls reflect is she has, you know, this massive lead. Even in Iowa, she was in Iowa campaigning. And you know what one of the big headlines that came out of Iowa was? That they just shrug off the Clinton controversies. Just shrug it off. As if it's no big deal. So nothing seems to stick for all the people that want to see Hillary go down. It's not happening. And that was the point Justin was making and talking about who else would possibly come out of the woodwork, even on the Democratic side, that would challenge her for that nomination. And the answer is nobody. Nobody. Of all the people that responded to Clinton coming back for that 2016 bid for the Democratic nomination, didn't seem to be sidetracked by the questions about personal ethics or whatever the latest news was. The Families Foundation's acceptance of foreign contribution, the crazy speaking fees that blow your mind how much she was getting paid, right? The private email server. None of that. It didn't matter. Like I say, there's a disconnect. You know, I think there's just a disconnect with people. But I think there has to be some kind of a disconnect with the Clintons when it comes to small business. I mean, can she relate to the everyday person? But for that matter, really, isn't this part of the problem? What would be your ideal president? What would be the ideal president for you? Who do you think can relate to you in Washington politics? An NBC Wall Street Journal poll found only a quarter of registered voters said they viewed her as honest and straightforward. Now, that is a bounce down, shockingly, in a different direction. That's down 13 points from last summer. But she doesn't have anyone on the Democratic side challenging. And we can't seem to come up with anyone that's going to pop up there while we're waiting for more Republicans to say that they want to run. I would not be stunned, and wouldn't this be shocking? I would not be stunned if we saw 25, wouldn't that be crazy? If we saw 25 Republicans say that they were going to run for president. That they had somebody starting PACs and they were off speaking, it wouldn't be shocking. It also wouldn't be shocking if there wasn't a week, at least in the last four, that we haven't talked about horrific tornadoes. I mean, the tornado sightings and the photographs of the tornadoes is like a sport now, if it wasn't so sad. The wall that forms and then these massive tornado clouds. Wicked, brutal weather. Lots of damage reported after a tornado touched down and ripped through one Texas town called Mineral Falls, Texas. Heavy rains, flash flooding, and, you know, it's interesting, but, and maybe it's just me, like I said, it's almost become a sport. We're seeing more ways to cover tornadoes, more people taking pictures of tornadoes, more damage done by tornadoes, at least two touchdown in Texas, in North Texas, and also in southern Oklahoma as well. And it's still that strange phenomenon of a tornado where you look across the street, a building has collapsed, another building is partially torn apart, and on the other side, nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. There was one strange incident at a place called Giddings, Texas, which is, to give you sense, people all over the country listening, you know Austin, right? The T-shirts that say Austin's weird, and the University of Texas is in Austin. It's the state capital. It's about 50 miles or so east is where Giddings is. And the storm damage there to some farm buildings and the roof of a Ramada Inn was pretty incredible. There was a guy who was a guest at the hotel who was injured when debris flew in through a window, hit him in the head. He was taken to the hospital. He's okay, but he had a lot of cuts, a lot of head lacerations, and he was a business guy who just happened to be staying there. I guess that when you travel, you just, and these are tornadoes that you don't know where they're touching down, but when you hear that these tornadoes are coming, you have to head to some place where you think you can get some kind of coverage. But the tornado that touched down there, they didn't see a wall forming and coming and coming and coming. It wasn't that kind of thing. Now, the Mineral Wells deal that I told you about, which is about 70 miles outside of Dallas, that caused the collapse of an abandoned bank building, damaged a couple of churches, it tore the roof. This thing of tearing the roof off, it tore the roof off of a government building there, so pretty nasty stuff. Lots of rain, tornadoes. The tornado season is really underway and just getting started. We could see tornadoes for the next couple of months. And what do cities do when they have this tornado damage? They start to, when they go to the city councils, they start to think, geez, is there something else we need to do? How do we warn people? What's the latest, greatest thing we can do to tell them about tornadoes? And some of the predictors, the watches are pretty good. And the weathermen often have gotten a lot better at that. And there are so-called professional, if you could be that, storm chasers. Not the average Joe who's going right into the tornado, who are describing things and getting it on the air as fast as possible. But the bottom line is, there is no 80% even, I think, in the tornado business. You get a little more warning when you look at the weather with hurricanes than you do with tornadoes, frankly. Because at any moment, just given in the right second, that tornado forms and boom, it can be down. I mean, it can be deadly. And there's all kinds of tornadoes, from the bigger funnels to the ones that spawn off, and they almost look like they give birth, you know what I'm saying, to baby tornadoes. That is the craziest thing. You see these twisters that fly out of the bottom of the tornado, and that's the worst, especially if it hits in a suburban area, because now you got a couple of them that could go for a while, meaning, you know, what is a while? If you're going down a suburban street and it's 15 seconds, that's 15 seconds too long. And in this case, we're seeing a lot of rain. Oklahoma, the University of Oklahoma there in Norman, they're saying 8.5 inches of rain. 8.5 inches. Well, you know you're going to have floods then. So Oklahoma is getting that rain stuff pretty bad. And, of course, in other parts of the country, they're getting it as well. In Colorado, snow. Snow. You mean we could still be skiing and it's almost Memorial Day? How crazy is that? All right, we're talking about remodeling, cool stuff like that, with Steve Sardone next on America Tonight.
It's absolutely heartbreaking. All over America, people are suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, irregular heartbeat, clogged arteries, and high cholesterol. Can you live your life free from sickness, pain, and fear, and experience your body healing itself? Look to Heart and Body Extract, an all-natural supplement that aids ailing bodies. It has an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. End the pain without all the side effects of prescription drugs. People 20 years younger will envy your vitality. Want a happier, healthier you? Then go to heartandbody.com or call toll-free 866-295-5305 for free information. Heart and Body Extract offers a lifetime guarantee with no price increase in over 14 years. What are you waiting for? Call Heart and Body now at 866-295-5305 for your free information. Go to heartandbody.com, 866-295-5305. Distributor inquiries welcome.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play your Let me see what spring is like.
Once again, it's time for one of my favorite things we do on this show. It's called What's Your Business? Steve Sardone is in our virtual green room, so to speak. He has actually a funny story to tell us in a second here. And he's got his own construction company. I'm so fascinated by the construction world. And what we're seeing now is, especially in the housing market, a lot of people are remodeling and trying to figure out what rooms they want to remodel, sometimes because they're moving and they want to sell, sometimes they just want to remodel. They want to do something to freshen up where they're, you know, their crib, where they're living. And we thought it'd be fun to have him on the show to talk about that. So, Steve, before we dive into this, you got to tell everyone this story, because I can't tell you how many encounters I have had of the wildest kind at the what they call the Genius Bar in the Apple world. And you just were at the Genius Bar, right? Something happened to your phone?
Yeah, I was sitting out in the yard Saturday night, and I set the phone down, and I went in, and I left it by accident, and it rained all night. And I figured, what the heck, I'll just spend 2 or 3 days without a phone, who cares? and so I go today, and they're like, yeah, it's like still draining water 3 days later. And as they're setting up the last couple settings, you start calling, like literally in the last second, you called, and I'm like, I don't know anybody at that number, and you call again, and I'm like, I know somebody who's calling me right now. I need to take this and leave. I'll set the phone up later.
Well, we're glad that you took the call, and yeah. You can go back and set that up. And you know, they say there's a trick to that. But you had it out there too long. If you had the phone in water, or sometimes people jump in a pool, or they do what you did, leave it outside. You throw it in a bowl, a giant bowl of rice, and sometimes you can recoup it that way. But I think you have to get it right in the very beginning. So you did the smart thing by going without the phone and then running to the Genius Bar. So let's talk about the remodeling market. That's really hot right now, isn't it?
Yes, it's really as hot as it could be right now. It's a very exciting time to be in the remodeling market.
Yeah, is it because of the reasons I said? Sometimes people, like in Texas, for example, of course, the housing market is really good, so some people are putting their houses up for sale. So is it for remodeling purposes, just to remodel the house and feel good about something you always wanted to fix, or is it because we want to sell the house, or is it, like I said, a combination of both?
You know, right now I'm hearing stories that I've really never heard. It's a very unique time. You know, people are out of the recession mentally in Dallas, in Texas, finally, right?
Right.
And so they're more stable in their jobs. They're more stable with what's going on in their lives financially, growing families, shrinking families, what have you. And they are thinking, okay, now's the time I move, right? This is that time. And what they're learning is it's more expensive to move than to remodel. And so not only do we have like the normal influx of people wanting to remodel, now we also have this second group of people who were not considering remodeling. They were just going to move to suit that new need. And because of the prices on new construction and remodeling versus someone else's home, they're realizing that they can get way more custom to remodel what they have and be much happier along the way versus spend all that money and buy somebody else's home and it really still not be their own. And it's a very unique time.
Yeah, boy, it completely makes sense to me. So when you go to remodel rooms, what do you get the most bang for your buck on as far as the return on that investment when you go to sell? Is it the kitchen? Is it these great rooms that people still want?
Yeah. You know, I think each home is different and each home has its own unique set of problems. And each group of people who live in that home have different needs. I think so. Like, return on investment, if we're strictly talking cash, you know, if you are able to lighten up that house with a really nice coat of paint inside and out, and then also change out the lighting to something nice, this is going to be the cheapest money you spend, and you're going to get the most investment, the biggest return for it, the biggest appeal and the dramatic turnaround. On the other hand, it's going to be the old adage of it takes money to make money, and that's going to be your bathrooms and your kitchens. These are going to be your most expensive rooms in the house to remodel. However, on the other hand, they're also going to give you the greatest return as well.
Yeah, so that's something to look for. So when as people are listening to you, not just in the great state of Texas and in and around Dallas and all those other nooks and crannies, if they're listening and they decide, yeah, they want to remodel, and, you know, it's really funny with construction. I think you, hopefully word of mouth and someone you trust and someone who has done a great job, but that's not always the case. Sometimes you move, you don't know people. And a lot of times I think there's this misconception, because I've seen some really bungled jobs, that people have this in their mind to go with the lowest bid, but that's not always the right way to go, is it?
I think nobody ever goes with the lowest bid in any other walk of life outside of the government and expects it to work out really well.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's not like you're looking on Yelp and you got 10 Chinese restaurants and they all have great reviews, but you got this one Chinese restaurant with one star and $1 sign. And you think, we're going to gamble and see how this turns out. But people take the biggest investment in their life. They spend $100,000+, and they kind of go for that one-star, $1 sign review and hope that it turns out. It's a crazy thing. And now I think whether you're new in town or you've been there 100 years, you know, you do want referrals. You do want recommendations. And if you can't get those, you want to meet the team. Who's designing? Who's engineering? Who's building?
Who do you want to do business with for 6 months to a year? You know, your gut is going to be a great indicator. Don't let a couple points, you know, be the thing that helps you make a decision that really ruins, you know, what could be a very enjoyable process and a very nice project at the end of the day.
Boy,
there's
I so agree.
There's a lot of ways to think through that.
Yeah, I agree. You want it to be a nice project and you're going to be with the people for a long time. I bet there's one thing about your line of work that's really interesting to me. People can't get it fast enough, can they? Are they always asking you, well, when can you expect that done? When's that project supposed to be done? Well, they told us it was going to be done in 5 seconds. I mean, seriously, you're like the timekeeper, the time guy, right?
Yes, yes. If I had a nickel for every time somebody said, when I ask, when do you want this done? They all say ASAP. And then we have to go back and say, okay, now seriously, you can have it done, you know, right, or you can have it done quick. You decide. I can only do right. You're going to have to hire somebody else to get it done quick. And you know, it's an art. It's your home. It's the thing that people live in and enjoy and spend a lot of time in. And you know, I just have to coach people and say, look, this has to be done right. This is a serious investment. You're investing not only in your home, but in your family. Let's just take the time to make sure this is done right and get it done. And then throughout the project, and we even show them, like, look, you're going to be very upset and unhappy and sad when we sand all the sheetrock because it's going to look like a snowstorm here. But then it's going to get better. And, you know, managing expectations and the time and the budget and the emotions is an ongoing process.
Is there one, because you've done so many projects, I'm certain of it, is there one particular project that you did that you were like, wow, this is my Picasso moment. This is the best thing that I've ever done. Do you have one of those?
Yeah, you know, we did a couple of projects. One this year in particular we did for an architect friend of mine. And we really just were able to maximize the space well. They really wanted the siding on the exterior of the house that was going to be wood or hardiback or whatever to be actually a burned cypress. So what we did was we took a huge blowtorch, we laid out all the cypress, and we lightly toasted it, and then we stained it like a dark green. And all the veins and the green came out, and we lined that around the house in kind of a vertical pattern, and it was absolutely gorgeous. And we didn't make any money on the siding, but we were very happy with the outcome.
I bet the architect friend was happy with that.
They were so thrilled. They were so happy.
Yeah, and I always ask everybody this question because I do think you're in a really cool field. I can see the parts that would be really exciting, and I could see what some of the frustrations would be. But what sent you into construction? What was it?
Well, I think, you know, there's two answers to that. One was I got a job in college over the summer, and they said, if you help us out fixing up this building, we'll give you room and board. And me and all my buddies did that, and that was like, oh, yeah, this is great. And then it just kind of kept going. I went to graduate school, and I kind of I started my own company. It kept evolving. It kept growing. It kept turning into, you know, bathrooms, kitchens, and whole houses. And then it got to a point where I wasn't as excited about design and construction anymore. And what was exciting to me was helping people and helping people figure out how to improve their life. And by that, I mean, like, how do I connect this family with their kids? So the parents come home. They're tired. Someone's cooking. Someone's working. Someone's entertaining the kids. The kids are trying to do some homework. And they're all in separate rooms. And we're trying to figure out a design that will help them all bring together for those precious few hours at night they have.
Right.
And it's things like that. It's couples who love to entertain. They love to have their friends over, but they're embarrassed by their home. And they don't have people over. And they don't want to have Thanksgiving at their house because they're embarrassed, or their kids don't want to have their friends over because it's not a good place for them to hang out.
And it's stories like that that really get me excited about what we're doing and how we can help.
I love it. That's great. Now, I think you have just enough time to get back to that genius bar. Jeez, Marta, thank you.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with LSProtection.com. That's LSProtection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
Topping, we can count wicked weather. How many tornadoes can we take? We've been talking about it all month long, really, even before that. Once again, two tornadoes smashed down into a town called Mineral Wells, and in Oklahoma, they're saying at least two tornadoes. So by my count, that's four, and they think there's even more. The tornadoes killed at least five now in Texas and in Arkansas. That's what they're saying, and it just sped across the states. Severe storms that also carried lots of rain with it, too, so there was some flooding that went along in several places, but tornadoes killed at least five in Texas and in Arkansas. How awful is that? Meanwhile, since we're on the weather, an American tourist, unfortunately, was the victim of terrible weather in Israel, dying while hiking because there was a heat wave. They say that's what it was, dehydration. this 20-year-old from Florida fell about 16 feet at the site of Masada, is what it's called. One of the hottest days of the year, they say, they felt in Israel outside of Jerusalem. They say the fall wasn't the cause of death, but that the woman, the 20-year-old, Mickey Rosenfeld, the police spokesperson, said that the 20-year-old fell most likely because of the dehydration, and that led to her death. She fell and was dehydrated already, and then that was what killed her. Hikers noticed she had gone missing, and then they found her body about an hour later. Israel, opposite of what I was just mentioning about Texas and Arkansas and Oklahoma, they're having a heat wave that's been sparking fires around the country. Earlier in the week, they were having some big problems with that. So they've had the opposite thing happening. Not a lot of rain. And so they're getting those super, super dry conditions that are leading to those things like dehydration. People not used to it, or people visiting who aren't suspecting the heat wave. You know, you check up on the weather before you go somewhere. And you believe, and you start to read, and you think, okay, well, you know, maybe I need a raincoat. Stick that in the backpack. Maybe I need a lot of water, but I don't think we're going to have any kind of a bizarre need for a excess equipment, because we're going to have devastating record temperatures where it's going to feel like we're melting as we're moving along. We move from that to this pipeline that burst that spilled 21,000 gallons of oil, never a good thing, into the ocean off of California, a place called Goleta. I know it well, not far from Santa Barbara, in fact, right there in that area. And it was crude, of course, that where the broken pipeline just started seeping off the central coast before it was shut off. It stretched about 4 miles along the beach, is what the Coast Guard is saying. So Santa Barbara County health folks immediately shut down the beach that is right there. It's called Refugio State Beach. And that was pretty much the central site of the spill, because you could smell it, they say. They found a half-mile slick of dark, thick, black crude in the ocean, and that's how they were able to trace it. They traced the oil to the onshore pipeline that spilled into a culvert that basically ran under the 101 and through a storm drain into the ocean. So the good news is that it took a couple hours, but they were able to spot the source and get it shut down. I mean, this is a beautiful part of the state. I used to live there, and it's so incredibly scenic. And the great thing is it's not Los Angeles. It's not San Francisco. So there are areas where you can go and you can actually breathe, sit on a towel somewhere or in a chair, and people aren't right on top of you. Now, it's super expensive, but it's still some beautiful beach. And a brutal timing, because Memorial Day weekend and the whole summer season is almost upon us. So whether they're going to open that beach or what's going to happen, you know, who knows, but you've got to figure it's got to be at least a day or so. And then we're really into the holiday, because lo and behold, here we are upon Memorial Day. How did that happen? It feels like it was just January, doesn't it? And all of a sudden now, boom, we're into Memorial Day weekend, which means that people will go to beaches, especially in California. All right, to me, this is one of the more sickening stories, more disgusting stories, I think, that I've ever come across on America Tonight. Somebody sent me a link to it earlier in the day, and then I saw a story that a reporter had done about it. But they uncovered that four cancer charities now are being charged for misusing donations, and two of the charities are just going to settle. But the government, you know, slapped these four charities with misusing $187 million in donations, with those two saying, okay, we're going to just pay out. We're going to pay what we have to pay. Two of the others are fighting the allegations. That's what the Federal Trade Commission said. And the ones that we're talking about, you might be familiar with them. I don't know. Have you ever heard of the Cancer Fund of America, the Cancer Support Services Company, the Children's Cancer Fund of America? I've heard of that one. And the Breast Cancer Society. So they were collecting money, telling people that they were funneling to the patients, but apparently it was doing very little for any patients whatsoever. So they were fundraising, and they were not using the funds for the purposes they're being accused of, that certainly, not using them for the purposes they were supposed to be. In fact, let me tell you, and this is why I say this is such an awful story. Some of the money was used for Las Vegas, going to Vegas, New York and Disney World trips, cars, gym memberships, jet ski outings, dating website subscriptions, and cruises. Really? That's nice. People are dying of cancer, or they know people who've died of cancer, so they tap into that, and they decide they're going to donate. But yet they, how much of it were they keeping, and look what they were using it for. Sometimes 85% is what the Federal Trade Commission is saying, that they kept 85%. That means they were giving very little to these groups. So they had proposed judgments of $65 million against the Breast Cancer Society, $30 million against the Children's Cancer Fund of America, and that's what they collected from 2008 to 2012. And the money, of course, is mostly gone. Boy, shame on them. That's just evil juju when you use something like cancer and manipulate people to donate, and then you're off, woohoo, on a jet ski outing. Yeah, let's go to Disney World. Man, could you do that? Could you be that conniving that you could get on the phone, say a bunch of sappy things, get people really pulling their heartstrings, get people to donate, and then do that? I mean, I don't think so. How about this? A New York man who weighed more than 600 pounds and was told if he didn't lose weight, he would die at the age of 35, credits his personal trainers and Taylor Swift for helping him dump 400 pounds. That's huge. 400 pounds. The guy's name is Ronnie Brower. He weighed 675 pounds 2 years ago. His doctor said, you better make that drastic change right now. So he did. He found someone to work out with him, trainers, and he started to journal, did his whole journey thing. He said he was unable to leave his house because it was too difficult to get around. He had hand weights, a hand bike, and he worked toward his goal. He went on a trip eventually to the Adirondacks, for swimming, and he said it was something he could never even imagine doing because, he couldn't leave his house. Is that crazy? So one of the incentives that the trainer offered was to buy him a ticket to see Taylor Swift in Cleveland on June 3rd if he reached his goal of dropping 425 pounds. So he reached his goal, and so there's this online campaign to actually reach her before the concert so he can meet the voice behind the music that helped him, he says. That's a wild story. I mean, to lose that much weight, I guarantee there's people that knew him that have no idea and have walked by him. They have no idea it's the same guy. That is crazy. Even cut a video, and so far about 1 million people have looked at the video, I guess, on YouTube. Good for him. That's a great story. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.